right now.
More than six workers, jobless workers, are chasing one opening. So when they say the economy is turning around, they, being the government types, I'm wondering, where are they talking about? In the meantime, worldwide, Haiti is in trouble because an earthquake struck right near Port-au-Prince, and it was about 10 miles outside of that city. 7.0, never good to hear that kind of stuff, obviously. And the death toll has not, at this point, been announced. They believe there are hundreds upon hundreds, but it's still at that point of digging through the rubble. The city and the areas around it were in total darkness, and people were just lost, walking around in circles trying to figure out what to do next, which is what always seems to happen when a disaster of that magnitude strikes, especially an impoverished area. And there's help on the way. Of course, who is the cavalry? That would be the United States. The United States is sending help, but I shouldn't say that. Not just the United States. The UN, of course, has huge peacekeeping forces there, and there's some worry as to how many of those people would be in trouble. They're trying to account for everyone. They believe two Americans are actually unaccounted for now at this point. And in the meantime, the weather is changing a little bit in Florida. That's the good news, because the citrus crop, which a big chunk of it comes from that Orlando area and in and around it, has been destroyed. They're not sure that they can save all of it. So I know I've jokingly said this before, but if you like orange juice, you can probably expect to pay through the nose for it if you're getting it certainly from that area. But we have serious things to talk about on this show, including the latest on the body scanners, what's being reported, and people who feel that it's invading our privacy, and how many are going to be in the airports, and ultimately what can you expect, and how soon can we expect this to happen. I have some new information on that, so I'll reveal that to you, too. And more fallout from the book Game Changer, if that's not enough for you. Kate, hanging with you, of course, coast to coast, everywhere in between, even across the borders in Canada. And big shout-out to our friends in Sweden and Spain and now Italy, as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago. Speaking of over the border, let's head right there now to Al in Canada. Hello, Al.
Hi, Kate. You're probably going to ban me from your show, but I'm a big Vikings fan. I'm a big Minnesota Vikings fan.
Oh, that's okay. You know, we have the studio is in Minneapolis, so we're big.
I'm guessing you're a Dallas fan, though. You're a Dallas Cowboys fan.
Oh, no. I grew up in the Northeast. I'm an Eagles fan. No.
But you live in Dallas, though.
It doesn't matter. I'm not a Dallas fan any way, shape, or form. I'm rooting for the Vikings.
Yeah, my grandparents were born in Minnesota.
Mm.
But anyway, Kate, you know, what I phoned about is this Christmas Day underwear bomber, right?
Yeah.
He's pleading not guilty. How on earth can, you know, when I found out that he's pleading not guilty, when you have 200 witnesses, how on earth can he plead? This is a case of liar, liar, pants on fire, isn't it?
I agree, of course.
I don't know how he can plead not guilty.
Well, because he's been advised to do that, and that's typically what you would see, but I think they'll nail him to the wall. He'll get life. I can't imagine it. They've got him.
Yeah,
there's nothing to deny the evidence.
Yeah, and you know, Kate, the only bad thing about profiling based on country of origin is that eventually these Muslim terrorists are going to start planting bombs in unwitting, senior citizens, old people. They're going to start sticking bombs in the luggage of senior citizens or whatever, and you use seniors, people that
as
you
mules.
Never suspect, and plant bombs on them when they don't even know it, and they'll be unwitting mules for their bombs. So I honestly think you have to sort of screen everybody.
Well, see, that's that issue. If you're profiling, you still would be looking for a certain kind of person, Al. You know that the people that are always seem to fit the same pattern. But you're right. Then if you want to leave it wide open and say, well, we all want to fly safe, then we'll just screen the crap out of everybody and all's fair in love and war. But the problem is it doesn't seem that way now. Certainly in the airports I've been in the United States and outside the borders, I think there's a lax in the security. There's loopholes all over the place, and we're seeing them exposed right and left.
Yeah, and you know what? One thing, you mentioned Haiti. You were talking about Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I'm almost beginning to think that God loves communism. Have you ever heard of Cuba? I've never heard Cuba being hit by a hurricane or an earthquake. Have you ever heard of Cuba being hit by a hurricane or an earthquake?
I've heard of them being battered with tropical storms, but no, nothing where thousands of people died.
Yeah, I think we've all got to start asking God to be a little harder on communism. Thanks,
Al, what a way to end this call. Thanks. All right, so Al, coming down like a ton of bricks on the communist countries. There are a few of those left, or the dictatorship countries. That's why I say all the time on the show, you know, as much as we kvetch and we rail, and the reason that so many of us do that is because we know we live in the greatest country on the face of the earth, and we want to protect our liberties and protect our way of life, because frankly, we don't want to give it up. We don't want to live like a lot of other people are forced to live. Now, there are other countries that are fantastic out there, and maybe many of you have had the fortune to go and visit them. But then there are countries like Haiti, the impoverished people there, or some of the African nations, certainly China. They tell you what you can do, basically pumping back that hum that comes out, that propaganda that comes out into your living room. Venezuela, the butcher. I mean, he portrays all happy smiles and poses for pictures with the Sean Penns of the world, but in reality, he controls state-run media, and he controls a lot, obviously, of what happens to the people in Venezuela. All right, jumping back to a couple of things. This is a big one. I mentioned the earthquake, and I mean, there must be thousands dead. It was just a massive quake. A hospital collapsed. The concern was for the aftershocks too, and they weren't. There was one that was almost 6.0. That's bad, but not as awful as it could have been. So you have a lot of chaos still. I just got a note about what's happening, and the fact is that what they're saying now, that hospital collapsing, and that there's probably thousands dead as a result of it, but they just don't want to release any numbers yet because they don't know. By the time you get the various agencies, including our own Red Cross, and tie it all together, then you try to come up with a number, and you try to come up with the people who are missing, obviously, as well. All right, another big thing that happened on the day, or that is going to happen, it'll be interesting to see the timing of this, because you have all these shows like Lost and other popular shows that are supposed to be on the air, but this latest State of the Union, the president would interrupt that, and people are more concerned about their television shows than hearing the president talk. But one of the things that the president is talking about doing is announcing a new plan to get back all of the money that was lost from the Wall Street bailout funds, $120 billion to be exact. And most of that is because of, they're pinning that mostly on the three dreaded letters, AIG, and of course the auto industry as well. But they're talking about levying a tax on bonuses, you know, the Wall Street bonuses, and that's how they could get a big chunk of that, up to maybe 120 back, because they want it. They want the taxpayers' money back. Wouldn't that be nice? Stay with us.
It's obvious God loves us and has a sense of humor. Why? Because he created peppermint. Hi, this is Dr. Catherine Albrecht for GetMint.com. We all know that mint is fun and delicious, but did you know it's also great for your health? Research shows mint can help soothe a headache or calm an upset stomach. It's antimicrobial and antiviral, so it's perfect for flu season, too. You can use it to chase bugs and mice out of your pantry without toxic chemicals. And kids love its great, cool taste. GetMint.com offers quality peppermint and spearmint oils made right here in the USA by fourth-generation mint farmer Peppermint Jim. His pure, pungent mint oils are 100% natural, free from harmful chemicals, and very affordable. So improve your health and spice up your life with natural mint products from GetMint.com or call 1-800-345-9068. That's GetMint.com or 1-800-345-9068 and feel the minty freshness.
Originally, we the people have entrusted government to be the guardians of currency, to ensure purity, content, weights and measures of gold and silver coins citizens would use for commerce. This reinstalled confidence after the demise of the fiat continental system, wisdom being lost with time. The government we once entrusted to protect from counterfeit has colluded with private business, creating the largest fiat counterfeiting scheme our country ever experienced. This is not only a transfer of power to an institution that is not accountable to our elected government, but has also caused the dollar to lose more than 90 cents of its original value. Now foreign governments are trying to divest themselves from this once world reserve currency. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm offering a book that explains how the system works. Call me today at 800-686-2237. I will give you a silver dollar free just for purchasing the book. Call today at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Hello. At OfTheField.com, we strive to empower you with wild food preparedness. We get lots of amazing positive feedback, most of which we feature on OfTheField.com. Here's a small sample of all that people like you have to say about the wild food experience.
I have about 15 wild food guides on my bookshelf, which left me wondering if I even needed another book. Boy, was I wrong. My knowledge exploded to an entire universe of wild foods.
In olden days, it was the norm to know which plants are edible and which are not.
Dear Linda, just wanted to let you know I received your book today.
Wow. I watched the DVD last night. I was awestruck. What wonderful work you have done. This information can bless many people. Thank you. Again.
Thanks again.
Your book has given me the most hope and inspiration. Thank you.
Folks, thanks for letting us help you get back to basics. Read all of the testimonials at OfTheField.com. You can order online for you and your loved ones or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE to share in the secret.
McGuire. I think any of those guys, the whole steroid thing, I mean, shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. That's the way I look at it. It's pretty simple. You can go and catch my blog on it at americatonight.net. Let's head out to Rick in Illinois. Hello, Rick.
Hello?
Hey, Rick, what's happening?
Hey, how's the snow down there?
No snow right now. It's all melted and gone away.
All gone, huh? Mm-hmm. Darn it. I'll send you some more.
Thanks.
Yeah. Well, last week we were talking about that prison, you know, in Illinois. They want to put the Gitmo prisoners in.
Yeah, Thompson.
Yeah, Thompson, yeah. Yeah, that'd be a good deal, so we need jobs up here.
Well, see,
we're not scared of no terrorists.
Here's the problem, though, Rick. Before they're even near that step, they haven't gotten the money, one, to transfer the... to transfer the prisoners off of Misfit Island, and the prison has to also come up to these other standards, and they don't have the money from Congress yet for that either. So for job-wise, if it does happen, it's probably at least a year away.
Yeah. But
yeah.
We could use a job.
How bad is it? Because I was saying for every, across the nation, they're saying if there's like one job opening, about six or seven people are, at least on average, are up for the job. They're chasing that one job.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like everybody, you know, across the country, everybody's looking for a job. They're hunting for one. And a lot of them's taking a lot less paying jobs, but Anything we can create a job, you know, we need it up here, and I don't see nothing wrong with it, bringing them up here. And
are you going to be the one with the machine gun guarding them for us?
Well, I don't have a machine gun, but we can keep an eye on them. But what scares us more than anything is that Mike Huckabee turned his lifers loose.
Those no kidding.
Cops, you know, that's what's scary.
Oh, yeah, that story is, I think, one of the worst stories ever, that cops were killed by the guy that he let out of prison. You're right.
Yeah, guy had an 8-year sentence now. That's a life sentence to me. He let him loose.
I agree with you, but see, what the deal was with him is he said under the circumstances, he was a kid when it happened, he felt that it was, he had paid his debt to society enough, and then sadly, look what happens. These many years later, and that, you know, tell that to the families of the cops that were killed in cold blood, and it just doesn't work.
Well, you get somebody 108 years, they had to be pretty serious charges, you know.
That's right.
It's not jaywalking, nothing like that.
No, they're serious charges.
He's talking about the empty head, Sarah Palin. You see her comment that it was God's plan that she run for vice president?
Yes.
What's
you
she
mean
getting
from
mad
the,
at?
From the book or from when she was on Fox with O'Reilly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She made that comment.
Yeah.
Well, I know a little bit about the Bible, and it says that all things possible with God, but I don't think he picked her to lose, did he?
Well, that's just like the athletes when they say it's up to God, you know, when they do that, and then the praise, the problem is, does God pick you to lose that particular day? You could make the same argument. You're right. You got to be careful how you throw that around. You do make a very good point, Rick.
Well, sure. I mean, I don't think he picks people to lose. You know, he picks them to win. You know, he picks all kinds of people throughout the years to do his bidding for him, but I don't know about that. Anyway.
Well, if there is a line, if there is a pipeline that's open, then I would ask a God to please, in my lifetime, have my Philadelphia Eagles win at least one Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, and what's the deal on that? Put Michael Vick in, he scores a touchdown, and you never see him again.
I know. You know what the deal is? Is that Andy Reid has job security there beyond belief. When it comes to the big games between Andy Reid and Donovan McNabb, they can never get it together. Now, finally, it's caught up with them with the Dallas Cowboys, and they don't even, you know, they make it through the wild card to the wild card, but they don't make it any further than that. So they deserve it for the way they played those last two back-to-back weeks.
What's to say he comes in and throws a touchdown pass the first play, and you never see him in there again anymore?
Huh.
I mean,
it was a trick play. It was a trick play, and they pick their times of when they put Vic in. And with the ego of Donovan McNabb, you will never see Michael, unless he's injured, you will never see Michael Vick come in and take over the whole game. No way.
Well, he should be playing to win, not playing just for, you know,
see,
just because he's Donovan McNabb.
You don't need to be a prison guard, my friend. You need to be a coach in the NFL. You get it, and I get it. How come Andy Reid doesn't get it? I don't know.
You put your best players out there.
Absolutely.
I mean,
I agree with you.
You don't go with the stats or the popularity or most popular votes or anything like that. But
that's
I
why
don't
we
know.
I don't get it.
I'm disappointed in that. I thought they could do better. Well, they held them down for 0-0 there for a while, and I thought, well, here they go. Maybe they're going to pick it up with Vic in there, but I don't know.
The first quarter, thanks, Rick. The first quarter was good. Right, 0-0, scoreless. But then after that, the wheels started coming off slowly but surely for Philadelphia. So the Cowboys beat them three times in a row, and now the Cowboys go up against Minnesota on Sunday. It's the early game, and you can bet I'll be watching that. Speaking of that, since Rick brought it up, don't forget we have another Nail the Score. It is the playoff version of Nail the Score, which simply means that the games that are left, that's what will be on the board, so the computer would pick one of those games. And there are plenty of them to choose this weekend. It's going to be a fun weekend in the NFL. But to all of you listening, it may be the week, your lucky week, just like the lottery, only you don't have to pay a buck, that you might pick the right team and you might be able to nail the score correctly as well. Rick hit on something else. He was saying that, boy, it'd be good in our area if we could just, if the prison opens. Because you know how I feel about that. I don't want to see the terrorist suspects come to the United States, to be honest. I think they need to be processed, or they should have been processed before. There's no question about that. It should have happened a long time ago, way before you got to the Obama administration, and they started those military tribunals. And then everything, of course, exploded, all the controversy over Guantanamo. But the idea of bringing them to the United States, I don't like at all. And part of that is because I was in New York to see what happened on that horrific day, 9/11. And so I'm also not thrilled at all with, in fact, I think it's the biggest blunder of the end of 2009, Eric Holder saying, okay, we're going to try Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and the four others in the federal court. And then New York turns around and says, well, you're going to have to pay the money for that because it's going to cost $200 million to try to lock down this place for these trials. And I've said this before, try to find an impartial jury. If you're going to the letter of the law of our land, you're not getting an impartial jury there. But picking up on something else he said, a lot of people in the area wanting the jobs because it's a terrible jobless rate in and around that prison. But the competition for jobs, I mentioned this before, the number is intense because companies are reluctant in some cases to hire new workers. So you've got a lot of people unemployed and you've got people chasing the few job openings. When you've got almost 7 unemployed workers on average for each job, that's a pretty high number. That's the statistic the Labor Department released. I'm not surprised by that at all. In fact, I would say in some cases it's probably a lot higher. Job openings fell to 2.42 million in November from 2.57 in October. And it sounds like a lot, but when you look at how deep this recession is, it's the lowest number of job openings since July of last, you know, since last July, and second lowest since the Labor Department even started tracking that information in 2000. So not good at all. You got layoffs, hiring is slow, it hasn't picked up, and the economy lost 85,000 jobs in December. That's not good. They're thinking that there might be an improving trend that will continue. At least the economists are saying that, but I'm saying where is this happening? Because I'm not seeing it. I think that 10.5% number is a bogus number. And Rick said it. There's people that that aren't getting paid what they should get paid. They're in jobs that are not paying the money they need to support a household. Need more tax breaks, I think, in the right direction instead of the wrong direction. But instead, they're talking about taxing the middle class that much more. Stay with us.
A revolution in smoking is underway. A revolution all smokers of traditional cigarettes should know about. Keep listening for a special offer from PowerVapor.com. Standard tobacco cigarettes contain over 4,000 harmful chemicals. Now it's time to release yourself from the grip of big tobacco and experience true smoking freedom. PowerVapor.com is an e-cigarette with the look, feel, and smoke of a real cigarette, but with no tar, no carbon monoxide, and no bad odors. Power Vapor's e-cigarettes deliver just the right amount of nicotine in a water vapor that looks and feels like real smoke. Yes, you choose from 4 levels of nicotine, and that puts you back in control. Plus, you'll enjoy 8 flavors and big savings over traditional cigarettes. Get the facts and see our demonstration video at PowerVapor.com. That's PowerVapor.com. Log on to PowerVapor.com right now for a special 10% discount and 30-day money-back guarantee. PowerVapor.com, the smoking gun heard round the world.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communication Radio Network.
Men, are you thinking about the health of your prostate? Recently, New Vitality Health Products gave away thousands of free bottles of the supplement Beta Prostate. Due to incredible demand, they're giving away more free bottles of Beta Prostate to any new customers who call now. Beta Prostate is packed with plant sterols that support your prostate health. Remember, your prostate affects urine flow, sleeping habits, intimacy, and overall quality of life. Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 Saw Palmetto capsules in order to get the same natural plant sterols as one Beta Prostate. And if you haven't tried Beta Prostate yet, you can call right now for a free bottle. You only pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-257-7201. This offer is limited to one free bottle per household. Give your body nutrition that targets the prostate. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Call 1-800-257-7201. That's 1-800-257-7201. 1-800-257-7201.
This is Alex Jones, and I want to tell you about the Ecola Blue Atmospheric Water Generator that produces pure drinking water right from the humidity in the air. No, this isn't science fiction. It's very real. I know because I use one every day in my own home, and it's available right now to you. Because you know exactly where your water comes from with Ecola Blue, you'll know what's in your cup. Clean, great-tasting water without all the pollutants. Get your family off the grid today by ordering your own Ecola Blue Atmospheric Water Generator for your home or business. Their best seller, the Ecola Blue 28, produces up to 7 gallons of water every day. The Ecola Blue 28 is easy to use and economical. Generate your own pure water from the humidity in the air. This system is free of chemicals and uses a multi-stage filtration system, including reverse osmosis, carbon filters, and ultraviolet lights. Order now and claim your water independence today by calling Ecola Blue at 1-800-691-6043. That's 1-800-691-6043. Or visit Ecola Blue on the web at www.ecolablue.com today.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org for our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy. We urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit HempUSA.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid 3 times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
Whoa, you know, you must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a beautiful child. When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, you drove those other child's wild. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. When it came to winning Blue Ribbon, well, I bet you taught the other kids how. Well, I can see the judge's eyes as they handed you the prize. I bet you took the cutest bow. Yeah, you must have been a beautiful baby. 'Cause, baby, won't you look at you now?
Coming up moments from now, also we're going to talk about Mark McGwire and his Hall of Fame chances and a little bit more on what he said the other day, because now, of course, he's the hitting coach for St. Louis. He has to come clean on the whole steroid thing. Kate, hanging out with you, of course, captaining the ship called America tonight, coast to coast and all those spots and ports in between. Mark is listening to us in upstate New York. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Kate. Just out of curiosity, kiddo, you remember Al Gore had that interview with Larry King, and he gave that little poem about global warming, and he said, oh, you know, here's your tools.
Yes.
I haven't received my tools yet. Have you?
No. Al Gore has never given me any tools.
No, but I don't want his global warming tools. I need a snowblower.
I got you. I'm right there with you.
And if Mark from Long Island doesn't mind, Al Gore can kiss his ass, too.
There you go, ba-dum-bump. A night full of that. You know, it's interesting that in talking about Al Gore and global warming, again, we've said this before. First of all, Copenhagen was a failure because there was no agreement that was reached there, and the main countries that the United States wanted to come forward with the whole carbon emissions thing, they basically said, forget it. So I don't, to me, you got to look at, it's always this, Mark, about following the money. When you follow the money trail, where does it lead? And in the case of Al Gore, he's making a big, big profit off of going green.
so he's got the money to pay for these tools.
That's right. He can pay for the tools.
You can't be promising people gifts and not give it to them, Kate.
That's right. And we cannot pay for it. The middle class is getting squeezed to death. I mean, even when I say the middle class, Mark, I talked to an economist the other day. Off the record, he was talking to me about all kinds of numbers. I was asking him about numbers of salaries of people. And he was telling me, you know, it doesn't matter. If someone's making $80,000, they're going to be squeezed. Because that's not, first of all, that's not exactly what they're making by the time you take the taxes out. But they can't afford to pay for all these upgrades and things that you would have to put into a house to make it up to par if the standards are that much higher.
And they're going to take it away from their children because people making that kind of money, they're educated, don't get me wrong, and they probably want to educate their kids with school, and
right.
Those are the ones that are going to hurt.
Right, absolutely, I agree.
All right, dear.
All right,
I could use a pair of gloves. Maybe he could send a nice pair of gloves. All right, baby.
We'll ask him. We'll send him a list. Thanks, Mark. But, you know, point well taken. It's the same thing. You know, and speaking of following the money, here's a good story for you along those same lines that he just brought up. The Treasury Secretary, Tim Geithner, of course, you know, now people are starting to look at this guy and say, oh, yeah, he didn't pay his taxes, then he had to go back and pay his taxes. So it makes sense. Let's make him Treasury Secretary. But beyond that, he was involved with, and we've said this a million times, I mean, you don't have to be a scientist to pull all this together. You don't need any specific DNA and try to trace it. But there's no question that there's some problems about the bailout decisions that were made on Geithner's watch. Because, remember, Tim Geithner was president of the New York Fed when it managed the bailout. So the AIG deals might have actually cost you and me billions more than necessary. Because guess what? Of course, Geithner didn't demand concessions from the banks. So now you got this committee investigating emails from the New York Fed lawyers telling AIG not to disclose details about the deal. And the emails were released last week by a California congressman, and his name is Daryl Issa. And Issa asked Towns, basically the guy looking into it, to subpoena the New York Fed after the Fed blocked a separate request for documents. So, I mean, it's the same thing over and over again. The White House spokesperson, or FLAC, Robert Gibbs, told reporters heading into the weekend that Geithner wasn't on the emails that have been talked about and wasn't party to the decision that was being made. Do you really completely trust that? Nick in Michigan, you have the floor. Hello.
With your really excellent end-of-the-year interview with the financial advisor, was it Saul Album?
I did have Saul Album on, yes.
Yeah, and I want to follow up with that. Apparently, you said you had missed the story about the GM bailout, which he, I think quite rightly, made the number one story of the year.
No, I didn't miss the story. I know completely about the GM bailout. I don't know what context I was saying that.
Okay. It was the fact that the serious challenge it presented in terms of the violation of creditor rights.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm wondering if you could follow up on that. The Wall Street Journal had a really excellent piece on that by a guy from George Mason named Todd Zawicki. It appeared on May 13th, 2009. But for what it's worth, violations would be to the fifth article of the Constitution, and Article 1, Section 8, he cites. And it's really, as he says, a profound challenge to the rule of law because it really is gone after the time it happened around the first month. It's gone unnoticed, but it's another, I think actually not another, it's the primary example of how the leeching away at certain things is happening and the threat to businesses in the future because of what's happened to GM.
Yeah, you know what? A good point taken there. There's no question about that. I think even in the small business level, when we talk about what's happening and with even the insurance side of it and then the financial side of it, there couldn't be a tougher time, I think, to be in some of these positions that whether you're at the top of the pyramid or you're somewhere in between, you know, you make a good point, Nick. I think it's a tangled web, and we will follow up on that. I mean, you're right. People, I call it flying under the radar, and that's why I have Saul on when we talk about financial things. There's a lot of things that get missed that aren't as surfacey, that are kind of buried and then aren't really talked about until after the fact. And that's why it's important, certainly on the follow the money deal, to be vigilant about that so we know what's happening and what's eroding.
I had just one other comment, and that's about some of the top stories, my linkage of them. You've got, you know, the initial meltdown last fall, which had, for a while it was in the news, the fact that Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, or what the names of those institutions are, getting mixed up. Anyway, essentially your pet rock could get a loan.
Right.
And then you've got the guy getting on the plane. Is it in Copenhagen? I'm getting it mixed up. But I think it's Copenhagen for the attempted bombing of the flight to Detroit. And he didn't have a passport. That's
Amsterdam.
All the stories.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. He didn't have a passport. Maybe that's changed, but that's what I keep hearing. And then you've got this unsustainable rate of government spending. And all those, you know, related to me, we think solely in economic terms about confidence in the dollar, but they're all absurd. And so besides economic confidence, we're just having lack of psychic confidence if absurdity is the underpinning now.
Yeah. You know, and Nick, thanks for the phone call. It's interesting in what you brought up in the various ties to them. The latest one, of course, being the Detroit would-be bomber, Abdullah Muttalib, and the fact that, you know, he didn't have a passport. He also paid for his ticket in cash, and it was a one-way ticket. So, the signs were certainly there. So how do you miss those signs right underneath our noses? Give me a break. I'm hoping on this one thing with Geithner, that they're, and it already obviously, because you hear what Robert Gibbs said, they're bailing him out. But the Treasury Secretary is saying that he recused himself from decisions about AIG after being appointed Treasury Secretary, but he was knee deep into it before that. So, you know, I'm wondering what the subpoena that they don't want to happen will show on why these monies, the money that our money, taxpayer money, it's our money, we pay taxes. Our taxpayer dollars were used for this, what could only be described as a backdoor bailout. And, you know, it's all that money that was funneled to banks that included Goldman and Deutsche Bank and a couple of others, too. And, you know, where was the watchdog? Where was the bailout watchdog on this? How do they prepare this all, pull this all together? And, you know, there are no documents that link it, I guess. And so to me, I think that you'll find there was much more scam than anything else involved in some of those transactions. And that is what the problem is. And that's why we're not getting the information. Otherwise, I think it would have been readily available. You know, and you can make the argument they don't want to run on the banks, and then there's problems with more disclosure about what happened and the timelines, etc. But at the same time, I mean, if you're going to continue to do this, you're going to continue to use taxpayer money, and you're going to do things like bail out AIG and bail out Goldman Sachs, and they're going to have unbelievable bonuses. Yeah, we're going to call foul on that. And maybe we got to risk it and find out who was about ready to collapse. And the information that the public probably should have known, not probably, the information that the public should have known in the first place. So this investigation into deals that diverted the dollars to banks, I think we have a right to know, to be able to follow that money. I'm glad that there's heavy scrutiny on Tim Geithner and that they're not backing down on that. I mean, even this New York Democrat, Congressman Towns, the guy that I mentioned, saying he's going to subpoena the Fed for the documents. Good for him. I hope he keeps pressing and stays steady to that course. Stay with us next. We're going to talk about Mark McGuire.
This is an emergency alert. People don't die of H1N1 infection. They die from system-wide intoxication and toxic shock.
Doctors call it the cytokine storm following infection and immune hyperstimulation. Vaccines with immune stimulants or toxic drugs chemicalize your body, adding to your death risk. Prevent death and reverse diseases from infections, vaccinations, and drug toxicity. Call this number to get my free special report about the flu and what to do to save lives, maybe even your own. I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. Order Zeolite, the world's most powerful broad-spectrum detoxifier, immune system guard, and vaccine cleanse. Avoid vaccinations and drugs. Use Zeolite and OxySilver Hydrosol instead to detox and de-germ your body. Stop the shock of toxicity and preventable deaths. Call 1-888-KO-GERMS. That's 1-888-KO-GERMS. Or visit zeolife.net and oxysilver.net and order your free report and package special.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
In 1965, this was the sound. Commission's done. One more time. One more time. One more time. Playing the sea. In a drag. Papa's got a brand new bag. Come here, mama. And take your play in the sea. Got a brand new bag. Do the jack. Don't be ashamed. You know you have got. Do the monkey. Your agitator. Jump a jack. Your later agitator.
There's nothing worse than a cheat, huh? I think that steroid users should be flat out just barred from the Hall of Fame. Although Mark McGwire is the latest in a string of confessionals of people who have used steroids, I don't think it's the end of the steroid confessional. There are still people who have not said whether they used steroids or not. Some of them conveniently have kind of just faded away, Sammy Sosa being one of them, Rafael Palmeira being another one of those. And for sure, I guarantee there's others and there's other questions. Barry Bonds, we know that he's in trouble for perjury, but he has never admitted and, in fact, denied anything with steroids. So Mark McGwire, like I said, had to say something at this point because he's going back into baseball to be a hitting coach. So he called the commissioner and apologized, and the Maris family and apologized. Clearly, Mark McGwire has made a step in the right direction because, he did come forward, he did admit to it. But the bottom line is, I don't think any of these guys should be in the Hall of Fame. You think of, I think of Sammy Sosa, like I mentioned, and Bonds and Roger Clemens, and they've infested the great game of baseball. The all-American apple pie mom thing that baseball was a part of, there was an ugly era, the steroid era. And I think that, these heroes who were cheaters for so many years, and the fact that I think other people obviously knew and they just covered it up conveniently, it has to be across the board. If everybody's going to use steroids, then everybody uses steroids, and it's not a problem. But if it's against the rules, and especially if it can change the way that you play the game, I mean, it's cheating, clearly. Absolutely. And that's the kind of drugs that we're talking to. So he used steroids in a 70-home-run year where he broke the record of Roger Maris's. He was on, when we talked to AP, and he talked to a couple of different people, and I had a few folks who wanted me to play a snippet of Bob Costas. Bob Costas interviewed him for MajorLeagueBaseball.com. Here is a little slice of that.
Did Tony La Russa know, either in Oakland or in St. Louis, that you were involved with steroids?
No. He found out this morning.
That was
a hard call.
Yeah, he's been one of your biggest supporters, even to the point where some people were skeptical about him saying, you know what, Mark worked hard, he did it legitimately. Did you feel as if you let him down?
He's like talking to my dad. Yeah, I've let a lot of people down. It doesn't feel good.
Does today feel better in some sense because at least you're unburdening yourself?
I don't know. I mean, it's just... all I've wanted to do is come clean. I've been wanting to come clean ever since 2005. And, I didn't know where, when, or how. Just been holding this in.
Why did you testify as you did before Congress in 2005?
Let me take you back to that time.
By the way, are you okay to continue? I know you're getting emotional.
No, it's fine.
Okay, because we'll stop if we have to and take a break and come back.
But that's fine.
Go ahead.
So 2005... It's needed to go back to testify. Flying back there, I was ready, willing, and prepared to talk about this. I wanted to talk about this. I wanted to get this off my chest.
You would have said then what you've essentially said today.
Absolutely. I wish it never came into my life, but we're sitting here talking about it. I'm so sorry that I have to. And I apologize to everybody in Major League Baseball. My family, the Marises, Bud Selig. Today was the hardest day of my life.
All right, so clearly he was pretty emotional when he talked to Bob Costas. That's not a surprise, and I think that was heartfelt, having spent a little bit of time in my career interviewing McGwire and being around him a little bit, both in the beginning of when I got out of school, and I covered Oakland somewhat, and then with St. Louis as well a few times, one in coming to the ballpark in Arlington. But clearly, again, with the whole steroid thing, I think none of them should be in the Hall of Fame. And if they do get in the Hall of Fame, I truly believe it will be when they're, it's when they've passed on, and then they'll be in the Hall of Fame. But there's a lot of blowback on that. And remember, the writers are the ones who vote them in, and clearly the guys who are the dyed-in-the-wool sports writers at this point, I don't think they would vote any of those guys in. And you can tell already by the amount of votes they've gotten when they've been out of the game for 5 years. Matt, what do you think about the whole McGuire thing? I thought it, like I said, I thought it was inevitable that he would say something because he now has this position in baseball.
Yeah, I think he was kind of forced to come out and address the subject since he's now coming back into the limelight. He kind of went away for, I don't even know how long, ever since that court hearing pretty much with the congressional hearing.
2005.
Right, and he's been gone ever since then. Now coming back into the public eye, I'm pretty sure he just assumed that he had to address the situation. Otherwise, all season long, him being a coach, every town he goes into, the media is going to be asking him the questions about it. So probably felt like he wanted to get it off his chest. And there wasn't really ever a doubt in my mind that he was doing it because you can just tell by the way his body changed. The same thing with Barry Bonds. And I mean, I'm sure eventually all the dominoes will fall and Barry Bonds will have to come out in a minute. And so will probably Sammy Sosa and all those guys that during the 90s, it was the steroid era and it was tainted.
Yeah, and it's, how does that make you feel, though? I mean, that's definitely in your era, steroid era.
It's not good because I grew up, Barry Bonds and Ken Griffey Jr. were probably my two favorite players. And thankfully, there's never been any doubt with Griffey so far about him ever using. But Barry Bonds, that hurt a lot because he was my guy. And I was happy when he broke the record, but then also at the same time, all these allegations started coming out, and you look at his body. Like, when he was with the Pittsburgh Pirates, he was a tiny little guy. He was smaller than Bobby Bonilla, his teammate, and now he was, like, twice the size of him. And it just, things didn't add up, and it's tainted. And, I mean, I don't know if you have to throw out the records, but there's got to be something there that states that this was the steroid era of baseball, and a lot of these home run records and everything is not true.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think it's only fair to the people who strive to get in the Hall of Fame that are clean and the people that have come before them who played with their legs half off when they had injuries and pitched what was considered a really good start. You had a pitcher who pitched typically the whole game. You didn't have the kind of bullpens that you have and stuff. And so now, I mean, forget those arguments aside. You add the whole steroid thing, which helps them with the health. It's not fair to the other players who played in the same era.
Yeah,
it's
and you
not.
Gotta, you got to look at back the home run record. I mean, it's Hank Aaron, I guess, would have to take
the guy.
Cake because everyone was talking about, at least when A-Rod gets the record, because everyone's assuming he'll pass the career home run record eventually. Now he's tainted too, so there's really no one left.
I agree, and what sad statement, there's really no one left, so Hank Aaron really is the guy, and rightfully so he should be, and there should be an asterisk next to anyone's name who was part of the whole steroid-taking deal. You may have some different thoughts on that or some of the other political things, obviously, that we cover from wall to wall here on the great water cooler of America, and you can do that by shooting us your thoughts at americatonight.net.
When you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.